This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth joins us on Monday afternoons to talk a little Virginia politics. He is the founder and the editor at virginiatomorrow.com. Bob, happy Monday. How are you?
I'm doing great, Coy. How are you doing today?
Very good. We will get to the very big news of the day, of which everybody's talking about. And, of course, everybody in political circles is talking about the fact an article in the Washington Post about Bob McDonnell when he was in college. But before we do that, update us about the big story of last week, which was Delegate Phil Hamilton. What's the latest on that?
Well, Phil Hamilton has... you know, down there in Newport News, been out campaigning. He's gotten the support of a lot of local Republican groups down in his home base, and he's rejecting the call that Bill Bowling and Bob McDonnell and Pat Mullins, chair of the Republican Party, have said that he should resign. So the Republicans statewide have essentially ostracized Hamilton. They're basically saying they don't want any part of this election. But what's occurred is that Hamilton says, at least right now, that he's sticking in there, and many of the statewide candidates, with the exception of Ken Cuccinelli, aren't very happy about it.
I can't remember if I read it on your site or somewhere else, but I read somewhere that the Republican Party of Virginia website had actually even removed Phil Hamilton from an officially endorsed campaign.
Yeah, they had actually deleted him from the website along with another Republican candidate, Catherine Crable, who's running against Albert Pollard. But my sources now tell me that Hamilton has at least been reinstated to the website as a Republican. But the fact is that he now is an underdog in that campaign, and that if he does win, it would be very, very doubtful that he'd be able to retain the kind of positions and committee assignments that he now has.
Wow. Gosh, so even if he wins... doubtful that his former buddies in the Republican leadership in Richmond are going to give him those choice spots and chairman of this committee and that committee. And
well, let's recall, Coy, that just last week, Bill Howell announced, the Speaker of the House, that he's initiating an ethics investigation on Hamilton. And what my sources tell me is that there are a couple of prominent conservative Republicans who are very, very upset with this in the House. And, you know, they want something done and a statement to be made. So Hamilton's in a very, very rough situation right now. Politically, he's running against a Democrat who's fairly well-funded in a Democratic district. And if he does somehow pull a surprise and manage to hang on, he then's going to have to fight this second battle, because remember that in the House of Delegates, the Speaker assigns all committee assignments to every member.
Which incredibly powerful tool that he has. It just could totally change Hamilton's career, even if he wins.
Right, exactly. If he, you know, he could hang on and find himself on the Interstate Commerce Commission.
Oh, my God. We're talking with Bob Holsworth, the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. We're honored to talk to him every Monday afternoon to keep us updated about the very latest in Virginia politics. Okay, Bob, who is Amy Gardner? And that's, of course, a rhetorical question. I actually, I should say, as a matter of disclosure, I know Amy. She is a member of the Political Leaders Program class of 2009 at the Sorensen Institute. But fill our listeners in about Amy Gardner's big article that hit the Post this weekend.
Well, Amy Gardner, as you mentioned, is a reporter for the Washington Post. Prior to that, she'd been a reporter covering the State House in Raleigh, North Carolina, and even prior to that, had worked for the Daily Press here in Virginia, covering Virginia politics. So she's a long-time, veteran, you might say, even though she's still relatively young, of both state capitol reporting and Virginia reporting. And what she did on Sunday was to produce an extended story about Bob McDonnell that went back to the thesis he wrote when he was 34 years old and pursuing a master's degree at what is now Regent University in public policy. And the thesis, which I happened to read myself this weekend, essentially is an argument about why the Republicans should have a family policy, because they need to find some ways of addressing the deterioration in the family and the cultural deterioration that they many social conservatives believe has accompanied that. And so that's the essence of the piece, and at the end of it, McDonald gives kind of a laundry list of things that Republicans ought to do to try to develop pro-family policy at the national level. But interspersed throughout the thesis are comments that today seem, and I'm sure at the time seemed to many people, denigratory or denigrated women who worked outside the home, feminists, and gays and lesbians. And so what has happened is that after Gardner wrote this piece, what she did was that she explored the thesis. Secondly, she went and tried to suggest what elements of this thesis have McDonald followed in his legislative career. And thirdly, she went to Bob McDonald and asked him about some of the more controversial statements in the thesis and enabled him to go on record saying how his views have either changed or evolved on a couple of the issues mentioned in the thesis. So my sense is that it was a very fair article. I think all your listeners should read it. And it really gave a pretty good exposition of what the young Bob McDonald thought, how some of those thoughts have shaped his legislative career, and then how his views have evolved over time as he's been an elected official and an attorney general in the Commonwealth of Virginia. What happened was that the Democrats jumped on this right away. For them, this was, you might say, the reportorial equivalent of the Washington Post endorsing Cree Deeds in the primary. They basically saw it as McDonald was unmasked, that here this guy was campaigning as a pleasant moderate, turns out to be, in their minds, a hard-right ideologue who doesn't like certain kinds of people. Republicans see the whole thing as an absurdity. Here was something that was 20 years old. They see it as evidence of a double standard. Jim Webb, they say, and Barack Obama weren't held to the same standards about their past writings. And why in the world are we looking at somebody's thesis when we ought to be looking about how he has operated the Attorney General's office and what he'd like to do as governor? But what a remarkable impact this story has had over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can't go to a political blog in Virginia and not see talk of this. This is just explosive. We are talking with Bob Holdsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com, and you can read his essay about this piece and get links to the piece there, Amy Gardner's article in the Washington Post. So, Bob, let's unpack this story a little bit. Just to start off, Regent, of course, Pat Robertson's university, socially conservative, Christian-based. Isn't that the vision of schools like this, is to get people into government to sort of steer the ship in a socially conservative Christian way?
Exactly, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It seems to me that, you know, they have a purpose of trying to translate theory into practice, as many schools of government and public affairs would like to do for their graduates. They have placed over the years many of their public policy master's graduates in both Washington and in Virginia state government, and they teach a socially conservative variant. I mean, if you look at the dissertation, the thesis itself, it spends an awful lot of time parsing through the differences of opinions among Republicans about family policy, because when he wrote it in 1988 or 89, it wasn't very clear to people what Republican family policy necessarily ought to be. The Republican Party was divided by it. And what McDonald tries to do in the thesis is to suggest that it's important to have a national family policy, but he also mentions on a number of occasions that the government ought not to be too heavy-handed in imposing it, because if it does so, conservatives fall into the same traps that liberals do of thinking that government itself is the answer to every problem.
Ah, that's some wise insight. Very interesting. When Amy Gardner looked at Bob McDonald's legislative career then, which followed this master's thesis as he was elected to the Virginia House of Delegates, and where in which he served for many, many years before becoming Attorney General, what did she find?
Well, she found that on a number of instances, McDonald had been very active in attempting to promote what he thought was a pro-family policy. So, for example, he had sponsored certain legislation trying to restrict access to abortion. He was in favor of what was called covenant marriage that would make divorce more difficult, something I might add that Governor Tim Kaine also favored at one time. And what she found is that McDonald was a key player in welfare reform because he was a young, ambitious, and sort of smart and aggressive legislator during the time that George Allen was governor from 93 to 97 and was really instituting a whole set of conservative reforms in Virginia after 12 years of Democratic control of the state house.
So there was some matchup then in his legislative work and in subsequent years and the views in the master's thesis.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about that. Now, what's happened in this campaign is that McDonald has downplayed a number of those views because he has said the top priority is economic recovery, and the Democrats have suggested that McDonald's engaged in what they call an extreme makeover. My sense is that it's certainly a fair question to ask, ask McDonald and to ask the Republicans, to what extent do his values and his beliefs on social issues going to influence the direction he would like to take the state as governor? I don't think it's so different from what the Republicans did in 2005 when the Republicans exhumed Tim Kaine's record as an activist opposing the death penalty and asked what he would do as governor. And Kaine ultimately addressed that issue to the satisfaction of the public. So here's a test for McDonald that's coming up right now. Secondly, Coy, I think there's actually something bigger behind this. Republicans nationally have, for the last 6 or 8 years, been damaged, I think, among the electorate and tarnished in campaigns with Democrats, because Democrats have essentially suggested that Republicans are, in some instances, intolerant and not very inclusive, whether that be of gays and lesbians or of immigrants or of certain kinds of ethnicity and viewpoints. And that's harmed Republicans, I think, that particularly among moderate voters. And so I think what the Democrats are trying to do with this issue is ultimately to suggest that Bob McDonald, despite his pleasant suburban demeanor, is really a hard-edged, intolerant ideologue. And that's the test I think that McDonald's going to have to pass if he's going to be governor. He's going to have to convince Virginians that regardless of what he might have written in a thesis in 1989, what you see in his record and what you see in what he'd like to do as governor is a pretty inclusive, tolerant person who has strong values, but at the same time doesn't have an interest in essentially defining certain kind of people as outside the entire realm of acceptable political discourse.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob joins us every Monday afternoon to talk a little Virginia politics. And Bob, we should point out for listeners who haven't read the article yet that Amy Gardner wasn't muckraking or anything. She was doing an interview, and he brought up this thesis, I believe, didn't he?
Yeah, she heard him in an interview with some other people note that he had spoken about welfare reform in his thesis, and a light bulb went off, and she said, well, let me get a copy of it. It's publicly available at Regent. And again, it's something he wrote, and I don't think, in essence, one ought to look at what somebody wrote as a master's thesis as a indicator of precisely what they're going to do as governor, but it seems to me reasonable to ask in what ways are your views similar and what ways your views have evolved. Some of the more damaging quotes in the article are the suggestions that McDonald finds that feminists and women who work outside the home are somehow contributing to the downfall of the family. And McDonald was asked about that in the article, and I actually thought his answers were fairly compelling. He said that his own family has any number of women who have actually worked, including his wife. His own daughter, you might note, has not been on a traditional career path. She joined the military and served in Iraq.
Right.
So this is not a guy who is, telling his own children to have very, very conventional lives outside of the workplace. I could even tell you personally, Coy, that about 3 or 4 years ago when I was at VCU, Bob McDonald, one of Bob McDonald's daughters was applying to our School of Criminal Justice, and McDonald wanted to see in many ways whether the school was also an appropriate fit for her, and worked with her. And the questions he asked were just really sharp questions, and most of them were geared to what kind of career opportunities would you have out of this course of study.
Interesting.
So, you know, I find the notion that somehow he still believes that, you know, women should be out of the workforce and it's destructive for them to be there almost preposterous today. And in fact, if you took a look at his staff at the AG's office and many of the people in senior positions, they're people who are very smart, very bright women.
Absolutely. We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. So, Bob, here's, you know, at the end of the day, let's talk about the how this might equate politically. No pun intended here, but some of this stuff could be, you know, welcomed by social conservatives, preaching to the choir. They like this news, but how will, you think, independents react to this news, the independents that both McDonald and Credeeds, they each need those independents in Virginia if they're going to win the governor's mansion?
Well, clearly the Democrats are hoping that this is the issue that is going to reduce Bob McDonald's lead with Credeeds among independents right now. That that a lot of moderates, particularly moderate women throughout the state, after they hear about some of these comments, will have deep and serious reservations about voting for McDonald. My sense is that it's not out of the question that Deeds will get some bump on this, but we'll have to see how McDonald reacts, that all campaigns have to go through tough times, all campaigns have to respond to media stories that they may or may not believe are totally fair, but have the potential of having a real impact. And so this is a test of how Bob McDonald responds to a bit of adversity, and we'll have to see how he does it, but my sense is that this is a kind of attack that can be parried, and I think it's going to lead to certain features of the campaign that maybe the Democrats haven't completely thought through as well. I think it certainly provides McDonald with a tremendous justification to feature the daughter who served in Iraq in many of his own ads.
Absolutely.
And my guess is that's going to be a fairly powerful message on that side. So one Democratic legislator told me today, you know, this is what we have right now and we need to run with it. You know, we're not quite sure exactly how it's going to play out, but in a campaign that's been a little bit more abundant, in a campaign that really hasn't had a focus, this at least gets Bob McDonald on the defense of explaining things. And so Democrats are pretty happy about this today. And it was going to happen during the campaign. There was no way McDonald was going to get a free pass, that he wasn't going to have to explain some of his socially conservative views. And it seems reasonable for the public to want to know how they're going to impact his role as governor. But it quite as the as something that all of a sudden is going to change this election dramatically in a way that's going to make it impossible for McDonald to get elected.
Bob Holsworth is the founder and president of VirginiaTomorrow.com. He joins us each Monday afternoon to keep us all updated about Virginia politics. Bob, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, great to be with you, Coy. Take care.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.